Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We're going to continue in a series that will take a few weeks on biblical leadership. Last week, we kind of had an overview of the principles, how important and how God's Word has always stressed the importance of leadership, boiling all the way down to the leadership that we conduct with ourselves, that we have to be good leaders of our own lives. And that spills over if and when we become married to be good leaders in the home. If we have the opportunity to have children, to be good fathers. Today we're going to look at some concepts and principles brought forth by God's Word about one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament, and that is of Moses. Moses was one of the greatest leaders and one of the central figures in the Old Testament. I like the study of Moses. It just wasn't an overnight, boom, you're in charge. I've seen that sometimes in the workplace where somebody has been on the job for a relatively short time and all of a sudden dumped in their lap, you're in charge of such and such. You're in charge of this department. And it, sometimes it's overwhelming. Moses had 40 years of preparation to lead God's people, not in leadership training, not in VIP 101, but as a shepherd, learning to care and to lead and to guide, and that they come first. You may be tired. You may be hungry. You may be, you fill in the blank. But the herd, flock, cows going herds, the flock comes first. And that you've got to tend to them before you tend to your own needs. Interesting study, and we're going to look at a couple of the examples today. Moses was reluctant to be a leader. When God called him, Moses had every excuse under the sun. Why I'm not the guy you need. Pick somebody else. His first excuse was personal doubt. I'm not good enough. God squashed that one in Exodus 3:11. He comes up with another excuse. I don't have any authority or credibility. Who will I say sent me? They're not just going to listen to me. Who am I going to say sent me to be your leader? Tell them, I am sent you. Okay, you got me on that one, God. He comes up with a third excuse. He feared the people. Peer pressure. We think kids are the only ones, and we teach them, don't succumb to peer pressure. It doesn't stop when the kids become adults. Moses buckled to fearing the people. His fourth excuse, but God, you know, I'm not a really good speaker. You know, I'm not, there's so many other people that speak better than me. He focused on the man and not the message. The message he was going to present was perfect. Who cares if maybe it wasn't delivered in a whiz-bang way? He focused on the man. Finally, he just, God, can you come up with anybody else? Moses did his dead level best to get out of leading the people. And it's a good lesson because God responded. God's anger burned against Moses. God wanted him to fulfill the role of leadership. I don't care if you don't want to. I don't care if you have doubts. I will be with you. And Moses wound up being one of the central figures of the Old Testament. We also see the example that he needed helpers. It wasn't just him. He needed helpers to carry this work out. He commanded and God commanded obedience. Our scripture reading today that Kurt did, don't add or don't take away anything that I've given you. You do it the way I tell you. That's good enough for God. Don't go monkeying around with what God tells us to do, was the lesson there. And it wasn't going to end with him. Moses wanted to have a leader prepared for after he was gone, to where it just didn't stop when he died. He and God wanted that leadership to continue. Let's look at a few of these verses. We see that in Numbers 27, and the same concept in that Paul talked about to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, to train men, teach men that they can teach others. And it just keeps going. And hence, here we are today, 2,000 years after Paul wrote those things. In Exodus 18, we see where Moses wasn't going to have to shoulder the responsibility all by himself. You know, we have kind of the concept today of elders and deacons to assist. We see that principle all the way back. And they weren't being called deacons. They weren't being called elders. But we see the concepts, the principles. And God's principles never change. In Exodus 18, starting in verse 15, it says, "And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God, when they have a difficulty, they come to me. And I judge between one and another. And I make known the statutes of God and his laws.'" So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all this people will also go to their place in peace. This was not just a matter of easing the burden off of Moses. There were qualifications that these people must have. They had, in verse 21, they had to be able men, such as fear God, men of truth, people that hate covetousness. Not just anybody was picked out of the people. Certain qualifications. In Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2, and this was the passage that Kerr read, we see the concept that goes from cover to cover in the Bible about the importance of God's word. It says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments that I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Isn't that the root of so many religious problems throughout time? Not just today, but throughout time, people wanting to add to or take away. They want to twist for "I think," "I feel," "in my opinion," instead of just sticking to what God has given them. And God has never required anything of us that He didn't teach us about. In Numbers 27, it says, "Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Of anybody, Moses would understand that. He doesn't want, "I'm not going to live forever. I don't want the people of God to be without a shepherd." And God will respond. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man who is in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." That's the end result for all the things that is going on, that this is the result, that they may be obedient. "He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel, with him all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He was told what to do. I'm going to read that again. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. That principle, as the Lord commanded him. That's one of the things that separates Moses from other people in the Bible. He did what God told him to do. And when he didn't, he suffered the consequences for it. This man that Moses would pick, a good choice. In Joshua 23, verses 6 through 8, Joshua would, toward the end of his life, it was his concern. His concern. As he's aging and getting older, this is one of the things he wants for the people. Be diligent, he said, to keep and do all that is written in the law of Moses. And don't stray. Don't blend with the nations around you. Don't try to fit in. Stay separate. Be yourselves. Be God's people. And then in Joshua 24, this is not just something he said. This is a proclamation. It's a stance that Joshua represents. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Regardless what others may do, we will serve the Lord. And this is the man that would take the reins after Moses. Good choice. Biblical leadership is always needed. Not in the form of a CEO, not in the form of the tallest, best looking, richest. It required special requirements, certain qualifications to fulfill to be a leader for God and his people. And it demanded obedience. That is something that goes cover to cover in the Bible. The demand for obedience of God's word. We're going to look next week at leadership by the priests, by the Levitical priesthood. A lot of these, we didn't follow Moses. We're not under the Ten Commandments today, but the principles of what we follow are shown in Moses. We don't have the priesthood today. Well, Peter says we're the priesthood, but we don't have the Levites to perform the services for us today. But I'll tell you, the principles I hope we will see are as alive today for us as the principles and concepts were in the Old Testament for the priests. If you need to respond to the invitation is always open. We had a young man be baptized last Sunday evening. What was about 10 o'clock at night? Kristen had been studying with him, and it's amazing. The Word of God does not come back void. What started out as an Uber ride, if I'm not mistaken, ended up in a man being saved. A young man named Keegan. And if you have not been baptized yet, the water is ready. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, and you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity available. If there's sin in your life, causing you to stumble, causing you to not be the person that God wants you to be, hampering you from being the best you can be, we have the opportunity now. Repent. Don't let another minute go by without repenting and getting back on that right track. Whatever your need, if we can be of service to you, please come forward while Sam leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.